state your name and your agency number for the record, sir.
James R. Hunter, 038313.
Thank you, Mr. Hunter. You have been certified by the Arizona Board of, you've been certified by the Arizona Department of Corrections for a 412B-411 hearing. That is consider moving you to your next consecutive sentence or to offer absolute discharge. And as you can see, there are three board members participating on your panel this morning, sir, and they are the Honorable Mr. David Neal, the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson, and my name is C.T. Wright. I'm serving as your board chair this morning. So I think that you know that what this means for 412B, 411 means that you would not be released today regardless of what action the board takes. The board will make a decision whether to move you to your next consecutive sentence. And according to information...
Excuse me, sir.
Yes, sir.
I can't hardly hear you. Can you turn it up a little bit?
Yes, sir. I can turn it up a little bit. Now I think you should be able to hear me again. Can you hear me now, sir?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for telling me, sir. As I was stating, sir, that this is your hearing for a 412B-411. That means that the board will be considering whether to move you to the next consecutive sentence or to absolute discharge. As I was stating, that regardless of what the board does today, you will not be able to be released at this time. You're currently, according to information that I have, and you can correct me my information is not correct, you're currently serving a sentence for first-degree murder, and that sentence started back on April the 14th, 1993, and there you received 25 to life. And I would also point out the fact that you, on that one, you would become parole eligible on July 13, 2018. So even if we move you to your next consecutive sentence, that means that it would not become effective until July 13, 2018. And if we move you to your next consecutive sentence, based on the information that we have, you will have another sentence of murder first degree, because these sentences, both murders and running, consecutive, not concurrent, but consecutive, and you will begin on the second run once this one has been completed or this board moves you forward. Do you understand, sir?
Yes, sir.
And I also just take note, just for the record, that you also have had some other offenses or convictions. You have a couple of armed robberies. Each one of those was for 21 years, but they have expired according to information that we have. You also had a theft back in 1978, and of course that one is history as well. In terms of discipline, I believe your last discipline would have been in 2012, and that would have been for promoting prison contraband, which would have been a major, and probably the last one would have been in 04. So between 04 and 2012, you had done quite well, and then you had this one in 2012, and since then, you have not had another major ticket. Is that correct, sir?
Yes, sir.
I also take the note that you had a great deal of programming, but as I look through your programming, I don't see any recent programming. I believe the last one I see was in 2010, Cognitive Thinking. Have you had any programming since 2010, sir?
I don't think so, sir. They don't offer us programming no more when you have life sentences.
Okay, sir. We do understand, but I have to ask for this to be on the safe side. I also take just for information, since you put it on here, for your release plan, that you plan to reside with your elder sister if you were released, Ms. Renfro, and that is in Phoenix, but you would not be released at this time, and you would also have some employment at the legal ADA status you'll receive SSI once you are released. And is that still your plan to receive SSI once you're released, sir?
And perhaps start a small landscaping business.
Okay. Well, it's always good to have employment, that is for sure. And we also take note, I guess at this time, you're about 61 years of age at this time. Am I correct, sir?
Yes, sir.
And Lee's plan and that the activity will be going to church, which is always a great thing. And then we have an alternate plan for residents in case of the one that I mentioned before, if your elder sister, if that does not work, then you could reside with your daughter also here in Phoenix. And we also have a phone number there as well. It seems to me that the last time you participated, you came before the Arizona Board of Executive Tennessee, which it may at that time been the parole board, to that was back in 1985, and that was for a general parole, and that was granted to you at that time. So you have not been before this board since 1985. Am I correct, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I just want to say a few words about the offense itself, and then I want you to start talking and tell me exactly what happened. And basically what I'm going to say is coming from the department, coming from the precinct's report that on September 21st, 1991, the police department began an investigating armed robbery / homicide, which occurred at, I believe this is Randy Lookler, a basket here in Phoenix, and two individuals that committed this robbery and had been shot and killed. Two people were killed by an individual who attempted to interrupt the robbery, and the defendant, that is you, Mr. Hunter, was the driver of the getaway vehicle, which means that you were not in the store, but I think you know in the state of Arizona, if you are a driver and someone commits a crime, then you are held responsible as well. And that's the reason that you have been incarcerated these low many years, and that you were arrested in the vehicle which matched the one that was used in the armed robbery. And you stated that you had loaned the vehicle to someone, but you refused to identify that person that you had loaned, that you had let use to use your vehicle. Is that correct, sir? Is that still what you would say, that you actually, somebody else was driving the vehicle, but you refused to identify that individual, sir?
No, I was driving the vehicle.
Okay.
I dropped it off there.
Okay, sir. Well, we're glad that you owned up to it. I'm just going to say a couple other things. I do show that you had restitution and $12,965. Have you been able to pay anything in that restitution, or you that will happen once you're out, sir?
That'll probably happen after I'm out. They never took it, even though it was when I had money on the books. They never came and took any of it.
Okay, so they're probably going to wait until you are out. I take note that between 1975 and 1993, you were arrested. I'm not saying that all of them were, that you were found guilty that many times, but you were arrested 48 times in Arizona, California, and New Mexico. Is that about right? You were just moving around in terms of committing some crimes for that period, sir, between 75 and 93?
Well, really all of them were here. Yes. In California only had the one case. Mm-hmm. And in Albuquerque only had the one case.
Okay, sir. Okay, and I further take note that your trial was by jury, am I correct, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay, sir. Back to the crime itself, and we just want to get to know you better. We read all of the information that you presented to the board, including your ANI agency investigation, as well as your supporters and your certificates. But so now what we would like to find out is from you. Anything you want to tell us about the crime or about how you got involved with this ANI agency, this investigation agency, and where you are today and how you're doing today and what are your future plans, sir? So anything you want to tell the board, sir, because neither one of us have seen you before before this board, sir.
Well,
Well, what do you want to tell the board, sir?
Well, you have the packet there that I sent.
Yes, sir. We have the packet that you sent. It is right here. Just pull it up for the moment we have it. And each of us have had an opportunity to review it and go over it, including the parole plans and everything, sir. So, yes, sir.
Okay. Well, Exhibit A of the packet that I sent to you, it has a November 8, 1995 notarized letter that I sent to the police department trying to contact Detective Mullen. Almost a year before the incident happened in 1991, Detective Mullen had assisted me with some traffic tickets. And he came down to the Madison Street Jail and we talked, and I agreed to become a confident informant for him. And so he was after a crew of robbers at the time, Sherman Crawford, Ty Johnson, who I later learned was my second cousin, I didn't know at the time, and Anthony Hughes. And he was trying to get them for robberies, school robberies that they had been doing. And I knew them. I was married to Sherman Crawford's auntie at the time, Linda Reeves. And so I agreed to be a CI for him, and took care of traffic tickets and got me out of jail. At the time, I didn't have a license. My license was suspended. And every time I get caught, they get suspended for another year. And so I was in debt on my license. I couldn't get my license back at the time. And so whenever I get pulled over in a traffic stop or something, I would have the patrol officer to contact him, and he'd have them release me at the time. He'd let them know that I was a CI, and they would release me. And so I tried to contact him in 1995, the first letter I wrote him after trial was over. At the time when my case went to trial, I told my trial attorney that I was Detective Mullen. His name was Thomas Mullen. He was a sergeant in the robbery detail. And I told my attorney about him, but my attorney said, well, I can tell you right now, he ain't gonna want no part of this. He's gonna wash his hand clean of this. And so my attorney knew, they contacted him, and I didn't know nothing about law at the time. I was trusting my attorney, because the first time I got the case in 1991, it was dismissed, and then they refiled it in 1993. So I was trusting this new attorney, and he knew to try to get in contact with him or nothing, so I knew they could use that defense in court. And so I tried to contact him. I sent, I think, a total of three letters to him over the years, and never heard nothing to no avail. I never heard from him or the Phoenix Police Department. And so in 2015, I think it was the first time I contacted, I ran into a guy that gave me the information for ANI Investigations, Mr. Reeves, and I contacted him, and he agreed to locate Detective Mullen for me. And so when he located him, because he was working at the insurance agency or something like that, I think I put the letter in there, but he located him within 30 days. And so I wrote out a list of questions for him to interview him on. And I think the questions should be an exhibit, I think they're an exhibit, let's see, I can tell you in a second here. Okay, it's Exhibit K. I wrote them out on a piece of paper, and then apparently he had a secretary to transcribe them, and he presented them to Detective Mullen. They told me he interviewed him by phone. Mr. Mullen denied everything. He acted like he didn't know me, he didn't remember me or nothing. And so at that point, I was kind of stuck because I didn't know what to do. And so a whole year passed by, I'd just been praying, trying to figure out what I should do, you know. And then about 2016, it just came to me, well, why don't I take a polygraph test on these same questions that I presented to him? And so I recontacted Mr. Reeves over there at ANI Investigations, asking if it was possible that he could set up a polygraph test to come to the prison and have them polygraph me on these same questions. And so I sent him a total of 72 questions. I think they're in Exhibit M. And it took him some while. I contacted him, I think last time I heard from him around December, somewhere around then, but he ended up setting it up, and just this February, last month, they came in and they did the polygraph. He found the examiner that was willing to come to the prison and do it, which was kind of hard for him because the examiner worked at worked as a counselor or something, but he worked in one of the federal prisons in Florida. But they managed to come in on President's Day, the holiday, and they set up the polygraph, and I took the polygraph test and I passed it on the same question that we presented to him, and I think those, the polygraph test, they exhibit, should be an exhibit R, between R, S, and T. Yeah, it's exhibit R. He did the polygraph exam, and he did it three times. And I asked him at the time, I said, well, why? I said, I sent you like 72 questions. He said, we're not going to polygraph you on all 72 questions. He said, we pick out all the relevant questions. And he said that we polygraph you on three different times. We get three different readings from them, and then we determine from that if you tell them the truth. And so he went on and did the polygraph, and his results should be at either S or T, exhibit S or T, the results, his written results, which he said that he would come and, finally got back in the court, that he'd come and testify about the polygraph test he gave me. But the reason why, over the years studying law, I learned finally that, in fact, I stumbled across it. I don't even know why my attorney never did use it, but the ARS 13-402, if I'm not mistaken, let me see. I got a copy of it in here too, also. It might be exhibit T. Let's see, I got it right here. Yeah, exhibit T. In the ARS-402, it states, let's see, what would be 402? It says a reasonable person would believe what it's talking about here. Okay, let's see. Justification, execution of public duty. And it says that a reasonable person would believe make sure I'm reading this right. It has two sections here. Haven't looked at it in a while. Okay, B and B2 then. A reasonable person who believes such conduct is required or authorized to assist a peace officer in the performance of such officer's duties, notwithstanding that the officer exceeded the officer's legal authority. Well, when I've seen that then, my understanding of that is if I'm assisting the peace officer, that this is, what's the word they use, affirmative defense. And my lawyer didn't use it in trial, and he didn't call Detective Mullen to court or nothing.
Okay, so let me, I'm sorry to interrupt, sir, and I'm going to ask you to sum up that part of your testimony, but let me just say this, and I should have said it up front now. Remember that this is not a trial, this is not a court here. We're here just to make a determination whether to move you to your next consecutive sentence. We can't reverse what has happened in terms of the actual court proceedings. And I just want you to be aware of that. I appreciate all this that you're sharing with us, but we're not a court of law. We don't have that responsibility. They won't let us do that. We're here just to make a determination whether to parole you to your second murder. And that's all that we are here for today. That's all you've been certified for today. And as I said, that the board has had an opportunity to review all of these exhibits that you're talking about. At least I know I have, and I believe that the other board members has as well. But you need to convince us today, you need to tell the board today why you should be moved to your next consecutive sentence so that you won't have but one sentence left, because you're not going to get out today. You're not going to be released. But if we move you to your next consecutive sentence, then you only have one left, and once you complete that one, then you're back, then you're released, sir. So I just want you to know what our responsibility is so that we won't take up all of your time. And so please kind of sum it up, and so that the board members, I'm sure that they may have some questions about what you already explained about your investigation, sir. So just sum it up real for what happened and with that. I'm going to let you do that, and then we're going to move on, sir.
Okay, I understand the fact that y'all can't release me or nothing like that, and that this is not a court proceeding. But my whole position in presenting this, the reason why I present this is that I feel like I wouldn't have even been there that day had not Detective Mullen, you know, emphasized on me that he needed, because the information that I would give him at first, it was always after the fact. It was always like where he can find, like the carnage left over from, you know, where they dumped the stuff at. After a period of time, he started getting angry, like, hey, this ain't helping me nothing. I can't do nothing with this right here. I need to know when they get ready to rob the place. I need to know beforehand. And so, at the time, you know, that was information that was kind of hard. Nobody's going to tell you that they're going to go rob somebody beforehand. That particular day, I was there helping my cousin Todd move, and he wanted to buy new furniture for his apartment, for the new house they were moving into. And I offered to loan him the money, but he wanted his own money. And so then he asked me to drop them off over there, and so I dropped them off over there at the store. I wasn't there when the shooting went down. I wasn't there. After they went into the doors, I drove off. I was gone then. And when I did finally call the police department, to talk to Mullen later on, about maybe 30, 40 minutes after that, he never answered. You know, I wouldn't leave no message because I didn't know who I was talking to. And I didn't even get a chance to call that thing because I got arrested that same night. But had he explained to me, first of all, he never explained them to me, the rules and regulations for being a CI, what I could and could not do. So I didn't know none of that. The only thing he told me, he needed to know when they was doing it, and that's why I dropped him off at the store. Other than that, I wouldn't have been there. And that's why I'm saying, that's why I feel like that I've been, like you say, y'all can't do nothing about the trial and all that's done with. But I feel like I was wrongly prosecuted on that because he never did come forward.
But we cannot offer any advice as well, but the only thing I'm going to say, if you feel that the justice has not been served, then you need to, you know, go for an appeal process if you feel that is the case, because unfortunately that's not something that we would be able to deal with. But since you go through all this profound discussion, and I do have a couple of experts who are board members here, also if you want a board member, might have any questions, or not only on this, but anything that relates to Mr. Hunter at this time. Board members, I'm going to open up the questions.
So, Mr. Hunter, why do you feel like you should be paroled to your next consecutive sentence?
Well, I've been in 25 years. I don't think I should be prosecuted in the first place, but then that doesn't matter at this point. I'm a 61-year-old man. I'm not a threat to society, no. I'm not a threat to nobody. I have physical issues now. I have a back injury. I have artificial hip. I got pins in my hip. I just want to go out there and just, you know, live out the rest of my life. And as it stands, even if I got to do another 25 years, I'll be 86 by the time I get out of here. You know, so it's not much life left after that anyway. So I just feel like I should be paroled to my 25-year sentence. And I do have remorse for those of them getting killed. Like I said, I didn't find out until almost at the end that Ty was my second cousin. And when he got killed, I cried like a baby.
So what is your take on some, I see that you have some certificates for some Bible classes that you took in prison?
Yes.
So what else are you doing while you're incarcerated, sir?
Well, I attend church service every week. I still do my Bible studies. I study in prayer groups and stuff. I lead Bible studies and stuff, you know. And I do a lot of reading. I have 14 boxes of storage of books that I've bought over the years and read.
So how old were the two gentlemen that were killed? How old were they?
Todd Johnson was 26 years old. David, he was, I found out, was 16. I didn't really know him that well. He was a friend of Todd. I didn't really know David.
So according to the documentation that we have in here, it indicates that you were the one who got them involved in doing the robberies.
That I made them do the robberies?
Yes, well, that you were a participant, that you talked them into it.
Yeah, that was the police's position on it. That's the position they took. They said I was the only, basically, they looked at it like I was the only, I pushed them to doing that.
And since
that's what they argued in court, that's what they argued to the jury.
Okay, so I'm looking at your discipline report, and it says that December of 14, you had an obstruction, something that was informally resolved. Is that right?
I had a what? I'm sorry.
Obstructing?
Obstructing? Of 2014?
Yeah, December 26th, right after Christmas, 2014.
But you read it as a major or minor?
It was informally resolved.
Okay, then I was in Hume in 2014. Can't exactly remember what that was. I had a few minor lineups that were informally resolved at the time. One, they wrote me up for having for assisting somebody else with legal work, and they informally resolved that one also. So I don't know if that's one of the, what that one is or not.
Okay, but say it's going through some of the documentation that you have on here. I see that you, and I want to tell you, my name is Mike Johnson. So I see that you do have me. I was mentioned in your report that I understand that you didn't want to talk to Mike Johnson because I understand that he didn't even know you had his nephew Todd under investigation, which Todd was my nephew, sir. But I'm very familiar with how the system works, and I'm very familiar with Sergeant Mullen and the information that you have. I did look back through here and look at the interview that was done, that you had a private attorney interview Sergeant Mullen, and Sergeant Mullen, denied, most of the things of what you're telling us. He's denied that, but that's neither here nor there. But the basic thing is, at this time is we can't go back to your court documents, but whether you are deserving to be paroled to your next consecutive sentence. That's solely what the purpose of why we're here today, sir. So I was trying to understand why you feel as though you should be paroled to your next consecutive sentence.
Well, I feel like I'm showing remorse. I'm very sad that both of them got killed, I hated the fact that they got killed. I even went to Todd's mother's house, Miss Billy's house, at the time after it happened. When I found out that he was dead, I went over there to tell her, to inform her, to let her know. But at the time when I pulled up, his sister and them were out of the car for Jocelyn and them, and my ex-wife was there too, Linda Sherman's auntie. She was there with her boyfriend, and they all stopped me when I got to the door because they said you were inside at the time. And so they stopped me and turned me around and sent me back to my car and told me just go. But I mean, I hated that all this happened like that. I didn't know and since then, I haven't gotten into anything else. I've been just laying alone trying to, do right. Even in here, 25 years, 50 years, actually, even though it was a real situation, I tried to, walk this time off as best as I could, trying to stay out of trouble and stuff, and just try to program and try to do what I could with my life while I was here,
So, Mr. Hunter, are you saying that you had no involvement in this situation, that you were wrongly accused because you were being a paid informant for the police department, and you were only working for the police department when this incident occurred, and you had no actual knowledge or involvement of what was going on?
Oh, I knew what they were doing. But I wasn't involved with it. Yeah, I knew what they were doing. I've been on for a time. That's how
and
why I became
there for him.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you so much, Honorable Mr. Johnson. Honorable Mr. Ned, do you have any questions at this time, sir?
No, I was kind of the packet. Fitness for Hunter applied, it might. I mean, a lot of what we're seeing was covered in trial and.
No, I don't.
I don't think I have any specific questions.
Sure. Board members, we have any further questions for you at this time, and as we stated before, our major purpose today is, our only purpose today is to make a determination whether to parole you to the next consecutive sentence, which would be for another murder, first degree. But now we're coming towards the end of your hearing, sir. But as I've stated, this is your hearing. We'll give you an opportunity to make a final statement to the board before the board goes into discussion and makes its determination. So anything else you want to tell the board without repeating yourself, sir? Anything else that you think the board ought to know that would help the board to make an important decision as it relates to moving you to the next consecutive sentence, sir? Or absolute discipline?
Well, as I say, he was directly parole to my next sentence. I'd be about 86 years old if I lived that long to get out of here, you know, by the time I get out of here. But I'd just like an opportunity to go out there and spend some time with my great-grandchildren. I have two great-granddaughters already. All my grandchildren are grown. My children are grown, you know. And I know, should I get out at 86 years old, I'm not going to have much of a life left, but with them, I would have them. I would like to spend there and die with them, you know. And I am sorry for what happened, you know. Like I said, and just like maybe a week or so before that incident happened, that I even learned that Ty was my cousin, and I found that out from my nephew Graylin. I had Graylin in the car with me one day when we went by his house. And when they see each other, they went to the house, I mean, kinfolk cousins and all that, and I was like, what? And that's when I found out that he was related to me, you know? But at that point, I was so deep in, it was, you know, and mother was riding me so hard, I didn't have no way of getting out of it, I felt at the time, you know? I didn't understand them all, I didn't know that there were guidelines that were in place for, in confidential informant. Nobody ever told me about it, he never explained them to me. But, if I could have got out of this situation at the time, I would have. But I am sorry that Todd is dead. I'm definitely sorry that David is dead. I didn't know him, you know. But I'm sorry that he's dead too, you know. I'm sorry the whole incident went down, you know. And I've had these 24 years to think about it, and my position hasn't changed. I'm sorry it all went down. Thank you for your time.
Okay, thank you so very much, sir. And please stay on the phone, because in Arizona, we're part of the open meeting law, and you can hear everything that we say, and this will be the first time that the three of us will have had an opportunity to discuss your situation. So please stay on the phone, and once the board has completed its discussion, then we'll vote, and you will hear us, and we will announce the decision at that point, sir. The board is now in discussion. I found Mr. Hunter to be a real interesting individual. I read all his parole package because I found it very interesting. I just couldn't put it down, and I wasn't going to mention the fact that Mr. Johnson's, and I didn't know whether that was the same Mr. Johnson or not, but I wasn't going to mention that, but I did observe that when I went through the package because that's a pretty common name. But as we stated before, is there enough evidence here today for us to, for this board rather, to move Mr. Hunter to his next consecutive sentence, which is another 25-year sentence? To be sure, when he could, he had programming. Not had any recent, and recent is kind of nervous here because that's about 4 years since the last time he had a real ticket. I think it was in 14, if I recall correct. I shouldn't say real ticket, but in 12 he had a major with the one prison contraband. He has some minors in 14, rebound in 14 that were there's some others that were informally resolved. He has his own situation there that he has to deal with all of the rest of the things that he has down there. And I guess I'm just kind of on the fence. He's 61 years of age, another 25 years, minus 15%, which means that he would still be in there for a long, long time. But we also have to consider the plight of the victims. Although we don't have any victims present today, and it was important from the victim's side today in the room, I'm very disappointed because there were two individuals, and one of them, although he indicates that he did not know that one, but that one was just 16 years of age, and it's just, that really concerns, that concerns me. As I say, I'm on the fence, but right now I'm leaning towards not, but I would like to see what other board members have to say before I make my final determination how I'm going to vote board members.
I would say I'm not supportive of him getting moved to his next consecutive sentence. I'm only going to say that because based on the information that we have contained in this file that we have here and the information that we have there, that Mr. Hunter does have a very extensive criminal history record that included being incarcerated in prison. I think it was, it looks like about three times that he was actually incarcerated in prison. But I'm also going to say that having worked the robbery detail and worked with the Phoenix Police Department, Mothers was a sergeant in the robbery detail. And, you know, most sergeants that I've never known in my entire time being there would go out and contact an informant. The sergeant would have one of the detectives or somebody go there and do it. And I did listen to the information we have here. He did hire a private attorney, investigator to go speak and locate Sergeant Mullins. And during that interview with Sergeant Mullins, he denied any knowledge of Mr. Hunter, denied being the one to go out and meet with him and get him out of jail on the other citation. So all the things that Mr. Hunter says that Sergeant Mullins told him, he denied it in the actual thing. But the fact that all indication from the information that we have is that Mr. Hunter did take an active part in the actual robberies. However, he was just the driver of the vehicle. They encouraged the other ones to be involved. So I think that he has done some things while he's been incarcerated. It's been a while since he's been in any problem, but he has not taken the responsibility for his actions or his part in the robbery. Those are the reasons that I'm basing my opinion of not being supportive of him being paroled to his next consecutive sentence.
Thank you so very much. Yes, sir. Honorable Mr. Neal.
Well, I don't want to spend time echoing what my distinguished colleagues have already said, but based on his lack of accepting responsibility for the crime initially, and his previous record, and I'm at this time not in favor of giving him a parole to his next consecutive sentence.
Okay. With that being said, at this time I'm going to offer a motion. We'll see where it goes. And our motion is going to be to, as it relates to Mr. James R. Hunter, ABC number 038313, and the motion is to deny Mr. Hunter parole for his next consecutive sentence or absolute discharge with a 1 year set off. That is my motion.
Second.
Agree.
Motion by myself, seconded by Honorable Mr. Johnson, agreed by the Honorable Mr. Neal, with a 1 year set off. And this is report 12B. Make sure I check the right box here. Report 12B, 411. And reasons for denial are as follows: serious and violent offense, loss of human life, or lies in this case, serious and deviant offense, trauma to the victim. comment. I won't put age to the victim because that one was 16 years of age, although he said he did not know him, but I will note there were at least two victims that we know of that were involved here. Previous probation, parole. I'm not going to check for criminal history because he's improved some of that, but he, prior to then he had not, but he's improved some. And hopefully, I'm going to check out the program, and hopefully, I know that he's alive, but hopefully they can find a way to give more programming. I'm not going to check anything in release in relation to the release plan, or I'm not going to check the family support because he does have a whole list of family supporters, although none of them present today, and I believe that there are some letters included as well. Is there anything else, board members, that should be included? Hearing nothing else from board members, Mr. Miller, you heard what the board has decided, and that is that it's denied your parole to your next consecutive sentence for absolute discharge, and I've stated the reasons for the denial. Do we understand them, sir?
Yes, sir.
And you will be certified by the Department of Corrections to come before this board again in about a year from then. It won't be exactly a year. They will certify you, and then once you've been certified, the Board of Executive Clemency will place you on this calendar, and board members will be looking forward to discussing, meeting again with you. And thanks so very much, and we really appreciate you being here today, and we look forward to talking to you in the future, sir. Thank you, and please have a great day, sir. And please put the CO3 on the phone for us. We would certainly appreciate it.
Can I ask you a question first?
Yes, sir. May not be able to answer, but yes, sir, you can ask.
I thought I'd come up for recertification again in 6 months.
Sir, I believe that let me make sure there's somebody to
check. Under the old code.
You're under the old code, but you're, okay. The offense, this offense, according to what we have, you were sentenced in 1993. We also show that the, and if I'm wrong, then I stand to be corrected, that you were actually, that the offense itself, where the police started the investigation, 1991, and this was before, if it had been 1984, it would have been different, but this is, I don't know where you got it from. Maybe you have some other information because of some other offenses that you have committed that this would be the old code, but the dates that we have before, that we have, that we're looking at now, this is not the old code, so there might be somewhere else that you, we do show on your certification that where they have old code, they put an N there, which means that this is not old code, and where they have new code, they put a Y, which says that it is, yes, this is new code. But if you feel that is the case, please check with your CO3 and have them to work with time to correct that if you feel that that is the case, sir. We go only the information that's presented to us. We do not develop this information ourselves, sir.
Okay.
Well, please put the CO3 back on the phone, sir.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. Yes, sir. We're finished, and I believe that you have, how many more do you have for us at your unit, sir? Do you have any more for us at your unit?
No, sir, we have no more.
You have no more, sir. So we have to go somewhere else at, I'm just trying to check my paperwork. What else do we have to go at Lewis?
What is it?
I think we have to go to La Paz, so we go somewhere. Okay. So if that's the last one, we certainly appreciate you having me ready, and we will talk with you the next time, sir.
No problem, sir. Thank you.
And please have a great day and a great lunch, sir.
You too. Take
Thank
care,
you.
Bye.
All right. Okay. Board members, we are going on our lunch break. I'm going to ask Mr. Johnson if, so I have an if here. If Mr. Pomares is back, I'm going to ask you to conduct the hearings this afternoon, sir. I should be back, but it'll probably be around 2:30 before I get back. But if Mr. Pomares is not here, I'll just have to miss my meeting and stay here.
So I'll talk to Mr. Corrales if he's back. One of us, I have to do this, so.
Yes, sir. So you make that determination. I leave it in your hands. That's what I'm saying. Leave it in your hands.
He's so technologically advanced, he can vote.
Yeah, he can do all three. He can do everything.
I'm over here.
Now we
have to get this out of line. Did we have one more parole, Mr. Soto?
Yes, sir. Mr. Leo is going to conduct that one for us.
So we're going to do that one, or where is he coming in at?
Well, it should be that one. That should be at Lewis Rask. So we should go to Lewis Rask first. And I think we've done all of the home arrest, am I correct?
Right. The only one we have left is Soto.
Soto and the...
After that, we all, everything else is...
Revocation, and now that we have Mr. Rask here, we can do a revocation after lunch. I don't know who's been ready to do it, but he...
Which I believe is, they have scheduled for 1:30 for Lewis, I'm not going to say Tucson, or...
I'm trying to find out a piece of paper.
Yeah, we got Tucson.
I thought we were all going to be...
We got Tucson, Florence North.
Ivan's at 1:30, Tucson's 2:15. And one of the Tucson's is going to have to be continued because they're out to court. So it looks like we only have one in Tucson. Actually,
okay, well, very good. Let me have this piece of paper, and I'll leave it here for Mr. Johnson and Mr. Neal. Yeah, what we show is that we start back at Lewis at 12:30, and we go to Ironman at 1:30, and then we go to Tucson at 2:15, and Florence at 3:15. Now, that's what we show, and I'm not saying that there have not been some changes since then.
Okay.
But I'm going to leave this for you, sir, just in case Mr. Pomares gets here. But Mr. Pomares is not, I'm going to stay here, so that we need at least three board members. It's just for that parole, we need at least three, so.
Is that, where is he at?
Who, the parole?
Yeah.
Lewis Rask.
So we'll be getting him first thing?
Yes, sir, he'll be the first one, yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
And I'll talk as fast as Mr. Pomares and...
Yeah, then if we do that one, then we can...
I can be here for that one if Mr. Pomares is not here, because my meeting is done until 1:30, and it won't take me for about 15 minutes to get up the streets, since I'm not a general like the two of you. Y'all speed, and I don't speed, you know. Because y'all know all those gentlemen and ladies who was here this morning. I don't know.
I just know the high ranking.
We don't mess with the low level ones. Yes, sir.
There was a Jensen hearing on Monday.
Hmm?
Yeah.
Well, he was here until 6:30 about.
Yeah, I figured it was probably going to go a little while.
Yeah, that was a little while. But we finally got to it, but it was about 6:30.
I was a driver in a carpool, and I'm like, oh, if I came to work by myself, I drove myself that day, and I didn't, was the one that drove people, because I had to go drive back and pick up people and drive them to the parking ride. And I was just like, man, I'd like to stay here for this whole thing, but I don't think they're going to share my enthusiasm for it.
No, we have to let everybody, you know, participate, and then we have separate families, which I did not know, separate victims we had. We had separate victims. I thought it was just one set of victims, but there were two sets of victims, and it was... But we finally got through it, thanks to Mr. Neal, we finally got through it. He gets us through it. He makes sure that we get them finished eventually.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, I may see you at 12:30. I may not, depends on whether Mr. Pomares is here. If he's not here, well, either way, I may see you at 12:30 because I can stay here until about 1, a little past 1, and then I need to go up the streets over there to whatever that building is.
Yep, I'm not. I figured I had a bunch of warrants to review back at the union. I thought I could do it there,
I'm just kidding, but I said that you and Mr. Summers, you're all getting real smart, and Mr. Summers did the same thing yesterday, and we didn't get here until about 12, or a little before 12, so, well, a little before 11:30, so I said, you know, so if
in the afternoon, so you don't want to, so you're not going to sit here and give us advice.
Right. Well, normally I do it, but yes, it's plus we're doing the end of the appraisal period, so we have to do our appraisals for our employees that we supervise.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I had one for Mr. Kevin Brady, and then I had for our admin assistant, I got that one done, so, yeah.
Okay, all busy, busy, busy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yes, sir.
And that's what he was doing too, so.
Okay.
I try to do as much work as I can here, which, you know, there is a printer here, and there's, you know, sometimes, you know, during parole hearings, and yeah, I can do that, and if there's any questions.
Sometimes they start talking, and then we take away from you, you can't do all of that at the same time we start talking, and do we have a simple question to ask you that we should already know the answer to? Yes, sir.
I know it's not working. I can plug in the battery. It might be a good idea to do that, Jeff.
Okay, sir. Well, I'll see you.
Yes, you have yourself a good lunch.
I'll see you after lunch, then I'll see you about 2:30.
All right.
Right on the other.
And I did.